hello. Thank you for being with us today. I'm excited for today's episode, but wanted to take a quick moment to talk about prenatal vitamins. As a doula, I encourage my clients to achieve optimal nutrition through food. However, even with the most thoughtfully planned diet, it is nearly impossible to meet the daily requirements through food alone. Ideally, you should start taking a prenatal before you find out you're pregnant, or as soon as you test positive. P.S. If this is you, congrats. Prenatal vitamins help nourish and support your body while helping you grow that cute little human inside. Nutrients like choline and folate in prenatal vitamins support healthy brain and spinal cord development in early stages of pregnancies. Prenatal vitamins are unfortunately not all made the same. My favorite prenatal brand is called Needed. I first discovered them through our Facebook community, actually. They are very supportive of our community and have secured 20% off to all of our mamas with code VBAC20. Go to thisisneeded.com and enter in code VBAC, VBAC20 at checkout for 20% off. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the VBAC link. Today's episode is with one of my absolute favorite people, even though I actually haven't met her personally. I've been following her forever, and we've been doing things and connecting back and forth for years, and I am just so stinking excited to have the one and only Floor Cruz from Badass Mother Birther on the show today. We're gonna get kind of into the nitty gritty and really talk about some feelings. So be prepared for that. If you don't know who Floor Cruz is yet, I highly suggest checking out Badass Mother Birther. She is the creator of Badass Mother Birther. She's a doula, a birth of human rights advocate, a childbirth educator, and also a mom of five and a two-time VBACker. You guys, so stinking excited to have her on the show. We do have a review of the week, and then we're going to jump right into our episode. Today's episode is by Mama of Boys 0326. It says, the best podcast about birth and VBACs. Says, I had my first baby after a very unexpected C-section. I had done everything right to try and have a natural birth, and things did not go as planned. When I got pregnant again, only 6 months after him, I knew I wanted a VBAC, but didn't know where to go for information and support. This podcast was exactly what I needed. The birth story is an education, information, and an inspiration that is provided is amazing. It helped me know the facts about VBAC and be inspired to be a woman of strength. I am here to say I just had a successful VBAC, and I am so thankful for the inspiration that this podcast has provided for me through the whole journey. Oh my goodness, Mama of Boys 0326, thank you so much for your review and congratulations on your VBAC. We love you. All right, let's get into today's show. Hi, my name is Megan. Welcome to the VBAC Link podcast. I am a VBAC after two C-section mama, a wife, doula, and VBAC educator. This podcast was created to hold space for those wanting to know their options for birth after cesarean. It is a space where you will likely find yourself getting better educated, relate to stories like your own, and finding the inspiration to help you have a better birth experience. Although we will be sharing stories related to cesarean and VBAC, this podcast is for anyone and everyone who wants to receive evidence-based information and learn how to avoid unnecessary or undesired cesareans. The purpose of this podcast is to educate and inform. It is not meant to replace advice from any other medical professional. Okay, so we're just going to dive right in because the conversation we were having before we started pressing record was exactly what I feel like I want to talk about today. And everybody, right before we were pressing record, we're going to talk about doulas, right? So we're birth workers. For VBAC moms, we see a lot of stuff, and we've also been through a lot of stuff. And so we understand you. Like, we get you. We hear you. We see you. We see it every day in all the VBAC communities, on even not the VBAC communities. I'm seeing so much of the same questions and comments and things. And so I just wanted to talk a lot about some of those things. And one of them was a doula and how we can't expect them to save us as VBAC birthers, right? And I was telling her about a situation with a client that unfortunately you came with a lot of question and, doubt maybe in what she was being told. But then in the end, the decision that was made, which is not my decision to make or judge or anything, but it was a decision that was made that unfortunately turned into the cascade that a lot of us see. And the hardest part is that person was pretty upset with us. And that was hard. It was hard for me. And so she posted a post, I think it was like actually this month, maybe, I think it was this month. And she just said, like, the birth plan will not save you. The doula will not save you. And because we hear a lot of people say, like, I hired the doula, I did the birth plan, I did this, I did that, and it still didn't work out in the way. So I love what you were just saying about insurance. Can you kind of like tell them what that
So I think when a lot of people hire, doulas and they take the classes and they do the things and the birth plan, a lot of those things you have to utilize them well. Okay? We are tools. Doulas themselves are interventions. We are interventions for the system. We're an intervention for you, right? Interventions can also create good outcomes. You can get insurance for your vehicle, but if you are not following the rules of the road and you are not utilizing your car the way you're supposed to, then the insurance is just going to be garbage. It's really not going to mean anything, right? And this is the part that people need to realize when they are hiring outside people to come in and help them, is that there's a certain layer of work that you need to be doing that the doulas cannot do for you. I can't make you not be scared. I can't make you participate in your care. I can't make you make informed decisions. I can't make you have conversations with your provider and ask them to do their due diligence with you. We can't force those things. We can suggest things and we can give you information, but at the end of the day, those decisions are your own. And when you make those decisions, they come with benefits and risks, and the doulas don't have the magic wand to fix those, consequences of certain decisions. We just don't. And I think people have that expectation of that the doula is going to come in with this cape and everything's going to be good no
Hunky
matter what
dory.
decisions are made. And that's just not how it goes. And then there's people who really do the work, right? Like they release the fears. They see the chiropractor. They hire the best provider that they actually can. They're doing all of the things. They're participating in their care. They're asking the questions. They're doing all of those things. They're staying home as long as they can. And then sometimes they still have a C-section, right?
Which
And
is frustrating.
it's frustrating, but it's also a part of reality of birth, is some people just do need C-sections. And sometimes you just don't know why. We don't know why. Sometimes we walk away going, fuck, I don't know what the hell happened. Like everything was aligned so great, but we still had a C-section. And sometimes it's just a matter of the mammal left their home. And I know that that's a really hard pill to swallow for a lot of people, but we need to understand that mammals are not inherently built to leave their homes in the middle of labor to go give birth with somewhere else in a building with strangers and lights and sounds. And sometimes, no matter what you have done, the mammal will not give birth in that environment. And is not going to give birth under the standards of practice that are within those systems, which they want to see the baby out by a certain time frame. So there's a lot
And
that is happening.
yeah, a lot. And we've talked about this on the podcast before, like when we choose to birth in the hospital, which is fine. It just there's this sense of acclimation that has to happen, and sometimes we don't acclimate properly. And it's so weird that sometimes I think about this situation too, like when I remodeled my house and my flooring, my wood flooring, it had to acclimate well. And there was a certain part, there was like an actual box. For some reason, it was something weird and it didn't acclimate and it like rejected it rejected the space. Like it didn't
Yeah.
lay correctly. Like it didn't work. And sometimes our bodies, we go in and we don't know why. Sometimes they're tense or whatever, and we don't acclimate well, or we finally start to acclimate, but then all these interventions come in and these other people. So then our body freaks out again. And then it's just a mess. It's just a mess. You know, we can do our best as doulas or birth workers to, like she said, like encourage and motivate, but we really cannot be the deciding factor of you getting induced or not induced, or you doing that IUPC or not doing that IUPC. Like, we can't be that deciding factor. And so, if you're listening and you haven't hired a doula, or you have a doula, just know that we are there because we absolutely want to be there, and we love you, and we want to have or help you have a better outcome. Like, oh,
Yes.
we really, really do, wholeheartedly. Like, there have been births where I've walked away bawling, actually, because I was like, what the hell happened? Like, what? And then I start questioning what I have done or what I could have done better. And that's so hard. And that's a whole other conversation for birth workers processing that. But like, in the end, we have to make sure that as VBAC parents, we really are willing to put all the work in and accept what's going on and take charge of what's going on.
Yeah,
Right.
and us VBAC parents are probably more showing up with an extra layer of fear. We're showing
Oh,
up with
for
so much more
sure.
different layers than someone who hasn't gone through something that was potentially traumatic or a past experience to that degree. So there's more, right? And this isn't to shit on hospital births. It's not about that because I've also seen plenty of home births go way fucking south. So it's not
Yeah.
about that, right? It's about so many things that are not being unraveled. Too many people showing up to the spaces that don't know what they're doing, that are not practicing evidence-based care, that are not upholding autonomy, that are not being compassionate, that are not being vulnerable with someone, that are not staying in the moment with the birth, that are doing everything in a medical defensive manner. Everything is judged by risk, and that's how we're going to move forward. We see midwives do that all the time too. It's not just
Do.
hospitals, right? Just someone, even just, it's not always just leaving your home. Someone coming into your home with all of their fucking medical equipment and assistance and charts and, cell phones and iPads and like that's all disturbing too. It's not just hospitals. There's so much shit that needs to be unraveled here. But at the end of it, one person, your doula, cannot save you from all of that. They
Yeah.
cannot. They can make some outcomes better. Yes, the research shows us that. But if you think that we're going to show up and 100% save you from so many things, that's just not the reality.
No.
It's not.
Yeah. And like you said earlier, it can be a hard pill to swallow. And like, even as a VBAC mom myself, I put a lot of faith and, I put my doulas and my midwife on this like totem pole over here that was like, I got this because they've got me, and that wasn't necessarily the right attitude. Right. It wasn't the right way to enter my birth space. And I think I had to process that for a really long time in my 42-hour long labor and accept that and realize this is me. This is me. We have to take charge of our birth. But what I think as a doula, like one of my biggest messages is we want to see change. We want to see change in this birth world. There are a lot of things, like you said, to unravel and change and just fix in this birth world, but we're not seeing them happen.
No.
So why are we not seeing them happen? Because we're not making the change. And that sounds like a lot of pressure on us as birthers, right? But it is up to us to make the change. And until we get out of the status quo and on the normal path of what the system wants, no matter home birth or not, like we're not going to see change. We
Yes.
have to educate ourselves.
And this isn't a thing to like shame parents to tell them you're not
No.
doing enough or like you're not making good decisions or anything. Nobody should ever have to step into figuring out how they're going to birth their baby with having to figure out who's the best provider and do it. You should be able to show up anywhere and be able to have 100% support. So
Yeah.
already that's the problem, is that we're showing up to these spaces and not getting what we need. And
Yeah.
also what people need to realize, the things that we have now within the birth space, like pushing in the positions that you want, talking about physiological birth, skin to skin contact, optimal cord, all those things were not given to us. Those were things that were stripped from us through the industrial medicalized system, and we as the people fought for those things back.
And
And people
still have to.
and still have to. So those are not things that, oh, it's great. They're coming along and giving us all these things. No, everything that we have right now, you guys, we had to fight back for. And it's going to be the same concept when you are looking to have a VBAC. It's going to be the same concept, is you have to participate in your care. And I get it. Culture grooms us to just listen to our doctors. That's where the seed is in our foundation, is you just listen to the doctor. You are not smarter than them. You don't have a degree. They are the professional. And if you don't listen, you don't love your baby enough.
Or yeah, exactly. You
This
don't
is
love your
where
baby
we're
enough,
at.
or you're putting yourself and your baby at risk
Yes.
by making these choices when intuitively, for years, we were birthing off of intuition. We were truly, I believe, birthing from our intuition many, many, many years ago. And we've lost it. We've lost it's like someone has stripped our folk our ability to tune into that intuition because, like she said, like we're so groomed to trust this other
Yes.
area. And we lose our intuition, but it's so much there, you guys. You have it. You have it in your heart and your soul. Your intuition exists. You just have to listen. And sometimes that means going into a quiet place and tuning into what your heart is saying versus what like the outside world is saying and bringing in fear. Because I think that's the biggest part of trying to figure out intuition is this fear or is this my heart saying this? Like what's right? So a lot of people will steer away from home birth when their heart is like, this is where I need to be. My heart is in my home. But for some reason, someone said something, and so their fear creeps in, and now they confuse that with their intuition.
Absolutely. I mean, what's the easiest way to get someone to comply? To tell them that
Put
they're hurting
fear.
their baby.
Yeah.
That
I
is the
mean,
quickest and easiest way to get anybody to comply, is to give them the threat of their baby dying.
and that's what my second provider told my husband. So my second provider used my husband, who, like, don't get me wrong, great guy, really a super dumb thing that he did, but he was really smart. He used my husband against me because that's all I had was my husband with my second, with my VBAC attempt, my TOLAC or my CBAC. And yeah, he used him against me. He was like, listen up, your wife is not being good, smart right now. Like, this is not okay. Your guys' baby's at risk. And so what did my husband do? Freak the hell out. We need to go down to a C-section. We need to, you know, we don't need to do a C-section. But then I didn't have anybody against me or anybody with me. I had everyone against me because that fear, that one comment of this isn't good for your baby. That was it. That
Yeah.
was it. That's all that needed to be said.
That's generally all it really takes. But I think if we get to that point with our providers, then the next step needs to be one, stay calm. You need to stay calm. Okay? You need to not make that fear a reality in your brain, okay? Your provider has the responsibility to show you the burden of proof.
That's a powerful message right there.
That is your provider's responsibility to you. They are not supposed to be talking to you without giving you actual, real numbers.
And
So
proof.
right
Yeah.
away, that's what you need to be asking your providers when they're saying some shit that is real left field is, can you show me the burden of proof? Can you show me on paper the real actual numbers and evidence to this? Because that's what I'm looking for. When we walk into these spaces and we want to say, I trust my providers, I think that that's great that you trust your provider, but that doesn't mean that you fail to participate in your care, that you fail to ask the questions, that you fail to make informed decisions, that you fail to say, let me see the numbers on that. You're telling me that my rupture rate is, 15%. Can you please show me that on paper? And
Show
can
me
you
the
please
proof.
show me out of that 15% of rupture, how much of that is actually catastrophic, which means me and or my baby would die from that. And they will not be able to produce any of those papers because it's not real.
It's not real.
Because
No.
it's not real, right? I
Yeah.
always tell people this, put the same energy into like finding out who your partner's exes are. You're figuring out their Facebook, you're looking at their pictures, you've found their cousins, you've found all this information about your partner's exes. Put that same energy into your providers. Put that same energy into their care, right? And when
Yeah,
we're
and they deserve
asking,
it.
you deserve it. You deserve to have someone on your team that is knowledgeable, isn't going to lie to you, and is continuing to learn and do the research, because that is also another big fault of provider is they are not keeping up with the research. They're still doing the same shit they were doing 20 years ago.
You know, and I even think that sometimes when providers see research, like it's there, like they're given it. It's like, well, that's not how it really is, because
Right.
that's not how they're practicing. Instead of like, oh, I need to make some adjustments in my care, they just keep going. And so that's why we have this crazy lack of change. You know, like that's why some countries are 10 years ahead of us, because we, for some reason, aren't willing to make change, or when the facts are provided.
Right. I think especially in the United States, we really glorify licenses and degrees. We glorify people that have this sense of authority over us. Like it makes us feel warm and fuzzy inside. But why is that? Why is it that we don't feel smart enough to be the head of our own care? Why?
Why do you think?
It shouldn't be that way.
No, it shouldn't. But it is so easily that way. Like, we just don't.
We just don't. And I know sometimes it's a cultural difference, right? Both of my parents are immigrants from Nicaragua. So for them to come to the United States and have access to healthcare and have access to get seen by a doctor and to get antibiotics and like get help and get x-rays, like that's amazing to a family who lives in a country where they don't have access to stuff like that. So I was raised with, this is amazing. Like we have doctors here. Like, you should just do what they're telling you because we're just so grateful to have access to care that we're just blindly following what they're saying. So like, I'm the first person in the family to like question, well, what if this person's wrong?
You're the first person
Right?
in your
Like,
family.
what if this person's wrong? Like I'm the first person to like really fully participate in my health care. And that is not in the norm in my family because of that, the culture of we're immigrants. And so there's also that layer of where our families are from. And is this new to us? Is having access to healthcare new to your generations and your family? Because that's a whole nother layer that you got to uncover now too.
Yeah, I actually didn't even think of that.
Yes,
Wow.
absolutely. But
Yeah.
if you we're getting ready to have these babies, so it's like you're going to have this brand new little human that you are now going to have to advocate for. So getting on that wheel of participating and advocating prenatally during, your pregnancy, your labor, your postpartum, that's all gearing up for you to get ready to advocate for a whole new human for the rest of your life. If you think you're not going to end up in an ER at some point in time with that child and you're going to have to advocate, you are dead ass wrong. At some point, you will end up in the ER and have to, really ask the questions and not just hand your child over and just do whatever you want type situation. And we have to realize that that starts now.
With us being able to advocate and take charge of our own care. And, I know I definitely have had the personality in the past, and it's still in me. It's still very much in me where I'm like, oh, I'm a people pleaser. I'm like, okay, sure. Okay, fine. That's fine. Okay. Like, it's probably not that big of a deal. Like, obviously, you seem very passionate about that. So we'll just go along with that. You know, like, we're going to say breaking water, for instance. Like, a provider comes in, says they want to break your water. And you're like, well, that's actually not what I've ever, I didn't want that. Like, I know I didn't want that coming in here. That was something I knew I didn't want. It's on my birth plan. I didn't want to break my water. But this provider's saying it, they seem really passionate about it. So I guess I'll just back down and let that go, even though I'm very passionate about it. Sure, go ahead, break my water.
Yes.
Right? But why? Well, why are we allowing that? If that's something we really, 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 really don't want. Why do we just back down so easily?
Well, there's a few things that are going on here. And I think for women in particular, we are raised to people please. We are raised to take care of everybody's needs around us. Okay. Men in general are not raised that way. It's women in particular. We're raised to not ruffle anybody's feathers, not make anybody upset. Give people what they want, and that's our only job. So when someone comes into the room and says they need you to X, Y, and Z, our brains are calculating that as there's a need in this room that needs to be fulfilled, and I need
And
to
I have
fulfill
to
that.
do it.
I have to fulfill that, right? But the other thing that is happening here too is that we do have mammalian mechanisms in place to protect us and to help us survive within the wild, right? So if we have someone coming in who is looking like they are this sense of authority, who could potentially feel like a source of threat, like a predator to us, the mammal will give in to the predator's demands to avoid further harm. So there's layers of mammal instinct that are happening here as well, that is happening on a subconscious level, right? So the do and this is where the doula will help, right? Is the doula is the person who is outside of that who can step in to say, hey, I understand that this wasn't part of your plan. Is there any medical reason why this should be happening? Just to speed up the labor, that's not a real medical reason. So, like, I just want to remind you that your birth plan is, pretty ironclad. So, if this is not something that you want to do, I fully support you doing that. That, right? And then we give the benefits, the risks, the information, and then let the parent decide what they want to do. But ultimately, this is a lot of times what ends up happening. The parent does what the provider says. The doula is not going to save you from that.
No.
We
It's
can't,
so, and
okay?
it's hard, you guys. Women of strength, we want to protect you. We want to help you get your birth plan and have that amazing experience that you do deserve. And that you've worked hard for. But like she said, like we can give you everything as doulas, but then it really is up to you or us as parents to make that ultimate decision. And if we do that and just back down because we want to meet that person's need, we then have to deal with like what happens after that. And we have to accept that. So deal, I don't like the word deal. We're gonna accept that because that was the choice we made,
Yes,
right? Like
it's
if
a
we,
choice that we're doing.
yeah, like we, if we're gonna go into a store and steal something, we have to understand that there's gonna be repercussions from stealing that item. Whether or not you get caught and you're just like feeling guilt or whatever, there's going to be feelings. And so if we do something just because someone wants us to, then we sit down and we're like, well, crap. Or if it goes awry, then, there's no one else to blame. And that's the hardest part, I think, as a VBAC parent and a VBAC doula
Yes.
from those two standpoints. That's really, it's a hard thing. It's a hard
It's a really
situation.
hard thing. And as much as we're asking our providers to give us that information and to give us the burden of proof and ask them, why are you suggesting this intervention? It's also important that you have that conversation with yourself. Why am I choosing to not do this or to do this? You also need to ask yourself that. Because if you're saying yes or no to something, are we saying no or yes out of fear? And the thing that I see a lot of the time too is that people are completely fucking exhausted. The system has completely dragged them through hell and back just to get to that moment. And people are fucking tired.
Yeah, especially with like all people, but especially with VBAC, there's this extra layer of like pressure to have our baby by certain dates and have to be a certain centimeter or they won't induce, or guess what? Like if you do hit this date, I won't even induce you and you have to have a C-section. And so we have all this extra pressure and stress and angst, and we're going out and we're trying to self-induce and we're trying to do all these things, and we're so stressed that we're not even able to get our head into a space of like relaxing, calm, and like willing to hear what our true intuition, because we're so wound up, right?
You see it all the time in these VBAC groups. And I stay in those VBAC groups heavy, because I'll tell you what, providers act so fucking wild when nobody's around. When they think nobody's around to watch them, the things, the shit that they say and do, they act so different. And then these people come to these Facebook groups and tell us how their prenatal visit went. And I'm fucking blown away by the things that they are saying and the things that they're doing and the things that are happening. But, and also really sad that people don't have the courage to stand up to their providers and to ask the questions and participate in their care. Like, really sad to see that this is the place that we are at. I'm always, always seeing, I have to get in labor by 39 weeks, or I have to have an induction, or I have to have a C-section.
I see that.
That's the thing. I see that all the time, all the time.
You don't have to do anything. Or I see the let me. They will let me. So women shouldn't, if you're this person, you're like, oh crap, yep, that's me. That's me saying that. Or yep, my provider said they'd let me. Let's make a change. Let's make a change together. Like, we have to do this as a community together, and we deserve it as individuals to take better charge of our care, of our outcomes.
Yes. Yeah, this is what this conversation is about trying to get to a place where we are more participating in our care and getting that better type of care, and just asking the simple questions and even asking for space. Like, if you're just feeling really overwhelmed in the moment and you're feeling like you are about to comply simply out of fear or being stressed, that is the perfect time to say, I need time to think about this.
Yep. And you can, and your doula can be there for you. If you have a doula, they can be there for you and help hold that space and talk about those things and navigate through what is really being felt and thought in your head. Right?
Absolutely.
Taking a quick break to continue our earlier conversation about the importance of the right prenatals for pregnancy and beyond. As I mentioned, my favorite brand is Needed. Pregnancy and postpartum are the most nutritionally intensive times for a woman's life. You don't have to feel so terribly nauseated or so depleted in the postpartum stage. A prenatal multi that optimally nourishes you can make all the difference between just getting by during and after pregnancy and feeling your very best. Let's not just survive, we definitely need and deserve to thrive. Needed is clinically backed, third-party tested, and formulated the best, in my opinion, prenatal vitamins. They took so much time to learn about women and why we are getting the bare minimum nutrients, and then designed the supplements that addresses women's needs at every stage of pregnancy and beyond. Needed's prenatals are filled with the optimal amount for both you and your baby and include important ingredients such as choline, folate, vitamin D, and more. Enjoy 20% off at thisisneeded.com with code VBAC20. That is this, www.vbacklinkisneeded.com and use code VBAC20. Back to today's episode. There are so many times, and I never want to like shame providers or shame anyone. That's not like my goal ever in life. I don't like to shame. But at the same time, it drives me nuts when I see a provider come in and they say, it's like they're placing these seeds and then they're watering it with like Miracle-Gro so it grows really thick and hard. And then they're coming back in and dousing it with Miracle-Gro again. So they come in and they say weird things like breaking the water or whatever. And then you're like, oh, maybe I'm going to think about it. So maybe you're like, yeah, I said no, I pushed it off, put it aside. We're not going to do it right now. But then they come back in an hour later and like, well, we really want to break your water. Or now it's the nurse. Well, your doctor really wants to come back in and break your water. Like, here's that second pour of Miracle-Gro. So it's like growing thicker and harder for you to like resist to that, you know, that root and that seed. And so you're like, oh, no, I still think I want to wait. I really still think I want to wait. But then the third time they come in and they're like, okay, we really think it's best to break your water. You know, you're still kind of hanging out around 6 centimeters. It's probably going to help speed up your labor and get this baby out. You know, you don't want to keep doing this forever and tire your uterus. And then they just doused it again. You're like, fine, sounds good. Because we can't say no 3 times, right? But you can. You can. If that still doesn't feel right that third time, you can still say no. And so I think, you know, here we're talking about how, or we're talking about all the situations, but like, how do we find that confidence? Like, how do you think that we find this confidence to hold our rod and push through and not let it crack?
Mm-hmm. Once that starts prenatally, you cannot figure out who the fuck your provider is on the day you give birth.
You really can't.
You need to participate prenatally. Even just any single little prenatal test. Can you explain to me why you're suggesting this? What are the benefits? What are the risks? Can you show me the evidence on this? Any little thing. I don't care if it's a urine exam. Your provider needs to see you participating all the way through and through. So they know what to expect from you and what type of client you are actually going to be. And that also gives you a good sense of, is this person willing for me to participate?
Yeah.
Because you're either going to get a provider that goes, I love that you're asking all of these questions and you're participating in your care and you're gaining knowledge. I love this. A good provider will understand that that limits their liability. If you are knowledgeable. The provider who does not like you asking questions is already a red flag.
Huge red flag.
Huge. So there are lots of times where you will find out who someone is very early on if you start participating there, right?
Yeah.
And then once we move to the actual labor, there's a decreased chance of you getting someone that you don't want at your birth. Now, if it keeps getting pressed of this issue of we need to intervene, and at some point, if you've had enough, you say, hey, can you put it in my medical chart that I have on multiple occasions made an informed decision to refuse this intervention and you are continuing to come in here and coerce me? Can you please write that on my medical chart?
Yeah. What do you think they're going
to
do?
Okay. They're not going to want to.
No.
But as much as they use that medical chart for their own liability and for their own benefit, you also need to be using that as your own tool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, I don't want to discuss this again. Can you please write it in my chart that I'm not willing to discuss this any further? If you have anybody in your room on your team that is just not listening, get rid of them.
Yeah.
Why are we so scared to tell someone, hey, can you bring me another nurse that's on the staff, please?
Yeah. It's so hard. We are so vulnerable when we are in labor that we can't seem to find this space of, well, a lot of the times we can't find this space of advocating for ourselves to that extent of like, okay, every time this nurse comes in, my blood pressure goes through the roof. I'm clearly feeling a fight or flight experience. This is not going to help me or my labor or my baby, and definitely not going to help me leave this experience feeling happy and joyful and something that I, will cherish for the rest of my life. So if that person is in your space making you feel those things and your body is responding that way, because let me tell you, our body is a huge factor in what happens, and it's a response. We need to listen to it.
It's so smart.
It's so smart. It
So
is so
smart.
smart. If you get the chills every time someone comes in, or if you can start feeling your heart race when someone comes in, that is a flag that that person shouldn't be in your space, right? That, and it's okay. It is okay. And we talked about this with Dr. Fox too, like with providers. Like, no provider wants to be in a battle either. And so if they're not going to be in that space of support and willingness to meet you and let you be a real, and when I let, like, not fight you against being like an advocate for your own birth and being a participant in your own experience, that's not the right provider. And guess what? They probably don't want you as a patient either.
No.
Like, and that's okay to say, you know what? Thank you so much for all that you have done and how, where you've brought me today. I'm going to discontinue care. Or you don't even have to say that. You can just leave and transfer your records. Like, you do not have to stay. Or you can say to that nurse or to another nurse or whatever, like, I would like to request a new person.
Yeah.
Please do not return to my room. We had this a long time ago. It was like, oh, it was even before COVID, probably like 2018. We had a preeclamptic mom who was already really struggling with blood pressure. She was on magnesium. She felt like garbage. It was like her fourth or fifth baby, I can't remember. And it was a very stressful time. And she was being induced, and that was not what she wanted. And she did have this nurse that came in, and I'll tell you, she made my skin crawl. I just everything, the way, just the way she walked in, she didn't have to say a word, and you could just feel that negative energy from her body. And when she would speak to her, and when she was like touching her and like maneuvering, it was just like very aggressive, and it was ick, a lot of ick. And I watched her monitor. I physically watched her blood pressure because she had to be on blood pressure like the whole time. They were like taking it every 15 minutes. And I watched her vitals go up, and then they would still go down and be high, but they were like clearly down. And I started noticing that, and I talked to her husband and I said, "Have you noticed this?" And he's like, "Yeah." He's like, "I've noticed everything about her. She gets anxious. She, and I was like, "Yeah." So we went over and we talked to her, and she was like, "I hate her." She's like, "I do not want her." And I said, "Then let's get rid of her. That's
Yes.
okay." And she said, wait, we can do that." And I said, "Yeah." So I went out to the desk and I just said, "Hey, is there any way we could get another nurse to come in here and chat?" And she was like, "Yeah." And so she sent another nurse in, and the patient was like, "I would really like to request a different nurse. I'm feeling very anxious when that nurse is in here. This is not what I'm needing. This is not the experience I want." And they were like, "No problem."
Yep.
We never saw her again. Never.
That's
I didn't
how
even
it
see
should
her
be then.
out in the hall. Like, never. And her birth experience dramatically changed in a positive way in a really crappy situation that she didn't want, but it was like a dramatic change. And she was so happy. So
Yes.
happy.
The environment and the vibes in there have to be like immaculate. And I think that that's a part that people don't understand is if you're also having to fight through and through and through throughout the whole labor, I wouldn't expect a baby to want to be born in that into that environment. Like you cannot keep thinking of your body as this robot, as this mechanical thing. It is connected to your brain, to your emotion, to the environment, to your partner, the support system, everything that's happening within the room. Our bodies are not going to release these tiny little precious vulnerable mammals into the wild when the body feels that there are too many predators around and the environment is unsafe, you know? And I see what happens here sometimes is that someone is fighting a lot throughout the whole labor. And then they end up in a C-section and they go, I just should have had the C-section to begin
From
with because
beginner.
clearly my body doesn't work. And it's
Yeah.
like, well, no, you weren't even given a fair shot.
Yeah.
A fair shot at having a VBAC would be having support through and through, that would be a fair shot. But when you are having someone who is putting you in fight or flight, adrenaline overload, cortisol overload, your pelvic floor is going to tighten up on you. It is going to go whoop. The baby's
Hold
not
that
going to
baby
have the
in.
room. The baby's not going to have the room to navigate, to rotate, to descend. Your body will hold. Your body is so smart. I don't think people realize this. Your body is so smart and intelligent and works so well that it will hold your baby in when your body feels it is not a safe environment to be born. It's not a failure. It's a testament to how well your body actually works. Right?
And the failed the like the medical system really they treat us in a way that like we failed, our body failed, whatever, right? And that's just not the case. Not the case. It's that our body was brilliant and was responding to a
Right.
really not awesome experience, you
Absolutely.
know? And you know, it is up to us to continue to advocate. And so keep doing that, women of strength. Like, advocate for yourself, push through, listen, read the room too, read your body. If you're feeling anxious, make change. Now that is where it is up to us to, and I hate the word, but at the same time, like we can't fail ourselves by not doing anything. If
Right.
we do nothing, we are failing ourselves. We do not get the education. If we do not do put forth the work and the effort, we're not giving ourselves an opportunity.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to change the outcome that the system is already curating for you. There's already this curation that's happening throughout this whole thing, and it's expected to end a certain way. And you have to be the person that disrupts that. That curation and to build it to go into a whole nother different direction. It shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be our responsibility. We shouldn't have to go in there and advocating so fucking much. It shouldn't be that way. But it's clear right now in 2024 that the system is not doing anything to improve these outcomes. None at all. Zero. So by default, it lands on the parents' lap. By
Which
default.
we're already doing so much. So I know that you might even be overwhelmed listening to this episode and be like, oh my gosh, now I have to do this too. But you deserve it. Yes, right now it's unfortunate that we have to go in and we have to take charge of our own care. But we can do it. You can do it. Even if you're a people pleaser, you can do it. You really, really
Yes.
can.
You guys always remember the squeaky wheel gets the grease.
I love
Okay.
that.
The squeaky wheel gets the grease. So be as loud as you need to, advocate as much as you need to, participate as much as you need to, because that's the person that's going to get the grease, not the person who is sitting in compliance.
Women of strength, thank you for listening with us today. I hope that you enjoyed this conversation. We are very passionate. If you cannot tell, we are very passionate. We want things to be better for you. We want to see change. We as doulas, we do advocate for that. We want to help you. We really, really want to help you. But in the end, it's really like it's in our laps. We have to push up. We have to keep going. And I do think that it's gonna take time. Unfortunately, it's gonna probably take longer than we want to. But if we keep advocating for these changes, if we keep pushing forward and taking care of ourselves and our babies and all of this, we will slowly see change. We'll see it. It will
Yes,
come.
because it's not, you're not just advocating for yourself, you're advocating for all the people behind you as well. So if you're looking
Absolutely.
at it as a bigger picture of like, okay, when I speak up for myself, I'm speaking up for thousands of other families. If you look at it like that, you will have the courage to speak up.
There's a listener that she was a VBAC after multiple cesareans, more than three, and everyone was shooting her down. No, you know? And she was like, no, I'm gonna do this, and found the research and decided to go for it, and did had a beautiful birth, beautiful experience. And something I told her was, you just changed that provider's world. You just changed anyone coming in the future with VBAC after multiple cesarean. Because that provider said, you're not going to do this. This isn't going to happen. Sure, I'm going to let you try, but it's just not going to happen. It's not possible. And then she showed her it was. So from that, I mean, providers, they do hold on to experiences. They do. And sometimes they have to see enough experiences to change their mindset. But if we keep pushing forward and showing that this is really okay, just like breech birth, I mean, good golly. Like, let's get some more breech birth. Let's show these providers that breech is just a variation of normal, different variation of normal. It's, we just have to keep going. We have to keep going. And it does. It's just bull crap that it's in our laps and we have to do it, but we do
Yeah, it's
anyways.
all of us collectively working together, quite honestly. All
Yes.
of us together doing our own little part, even if it just feels like so minute and so little to you. If every single one of
Yes.
us did just a tiny little speck of work, it's a huge fucking mountain that we're moving together.
Yeah, I was gonna say, think about how many people there are just in our communities
Yes.
alone, let alone all the other people in the world, right? Like this, it's powerful. So believe in yourself. Believe in yourself. You deserve it. You are strong. You are completely capable. Do the work. Do the work. That is something that we do have to do. Do the work. Let's see what else. What other message, final message
Always
do you have?
ask for the burden of proof
Yes,
at
always
any
ask
point
for
in
that.
time. Burden of proof. Show me the burden of proof. I want it on paper so I can make an informed decision.
Yes.
Always know that you legally have the right to make those decisions no matter what, even if you are saying no to an intervention that could put you or your baby at risk. You still have the choice to say no, even when real risk
Always.
is at the front of your face. And risk is always subjective. That changes from person to person, right?
Yeah.
You have the right to be treated like an actual human and not just a vessel. You matter too.
Yes. Ask questions. It's okay. It's okay to ask questions. You're not a problem for asking questions, just
No.
to let you know. Like, it's not a problem if you ask questions. That is something that, in my opinion, shows strength. Like, if we're willing to ask a question, and it's okay to doubt too. It's okay to doubt. It's okay to be like, I don't know if I believe that, and then ask that question. Or I've never heard of that. Can you show me the proof? Or can you show me what the outcomes are, the typical outcomes are for this, result?
Right.
Like, ask the questions.
And not just tell me, like show me,
Show
right?
me.
And I think another leg that another people aren't really paying attention to is when an intervention is being suggested, really pay attention to if your provider is also telling you the benefits of the risks of the other side.
And the alternatives, yeah.
Okay? Because if they're just telling you this one side of the coin, well, that's coercive care. That's coercive information. They should be telling you the benefits and risks to each side and the alternatives, and then letting you choose. That is competent care.
Yeah. If they're coming in and they're just telling you the risk of VBAC, like we've talked about this, if they're just telling you all the risks about VBAC and they're not even talking about cesarean, that is a problem right there. And we talked about this, like it starts prenatally, but I really, if you are not pregnant yet, I encourage you, and you're like, okay, I really want a VBAC, I encourage you to start now. Right before
Yes,
you're pregnant, start right now. Find a
100%.
provider now. Start getting the education now. You are in a whole different mind frame than you are going to be when you are pregnant. And it's
Yes,
okay if you're starting when you're pregnant. Don't ever not start. Like, but
right.
if you're not pregnant right now and it's like, oh, I'm gonna listen, but I'm gonna like get these notes and I'll start when I'm pregnant because I'm not ready yet. I actually think that it's a great time to start now. Get the VBAC education. Find the provider. Understand what you're wanting. Understanding your rights, because it really is a different, it's a different ball
It's a
game.
whole different ball game, and it's you have when you have the luxury of time, take it, do it, because I feel like a lot of people go to get educated right at the end in the last trimester, and I want you guys to know something. Your brain functionality starts to decrease at the end of pregnancy.
Overwhelmed.
You're not supposed to be using a lot of brain function at the end of pregnancy because your primal birth brain is trying to take over. So you trying to learn at a time where your brain function is decreased is not optimal. It is not. You need to get educated absolutely now. Even if you're like, I'm just not sure if I want to have another baby, get educated. What is the risk to you getting educated?
Well, and honestly, it's just going to help the next person. Even if you don't have that baby and your best friend gets pregnant, you're going to help them. Like, do you know what I mean? You're going to help them and you're going to guide them into the right direction to help them get educated. You are going to change. It's those minute, like what she was saying, those minute changes that we're doing in life that are going to make a huge impact.
Huge impact. Absolutely. And make sure that your partners are showing up with you because it is not going to be doable if your partner is showing up just to sit in the corner and be fearful and not understand things, not be educated, not know how to advocate, not know what questions to ask. They will not be of any help to you. You need someone who's going to show up in that same brain capacity and be able to hand it over to them over essentially because you shouldn't be doing any type of fucking thinking during the labor.
I mean, look at what happened to me. Like it went straight on to my husband, and he was like, oh, I don't know. And it was just like, no, we need to go. We gotta go. We gotta go. And it was awful. It was
It's a real
awful.
risk.
It was really hard. And it was something that I made sure it was not gonna happen again. Right? Like
Right.
we're not gonna do that again. We're gonna make sure that you're okay with this, that you understand. So if someone just comes and says this one little fear tactic, you don't just crumble to the floor.
Absolutely. Absolutely. These partners gotta start showing up in a different way. Just cannot leave all of these childbearing things up to the person who's pregnant. One, it's not fair. Two, it's not adequate enough.
Well, we
It's
can't.
not adequate
We
enough.
yeah.
I can't tell you how many times people are like, I ended up in a C-section and I feel like it was all my partner's fault. They pushed me to do it. They didn't help me at all. They didn't advocate. They didn't even show up to the classes. And I just feel like it's all their fault, or they just wanted me to just hurry up and get it over with.
I mean, love my husband to absolute pieces. I've told this story before how he was when I told him I wanted a VBAC after two C-section, he was like, what? No, let's just go unzip you. He said that word, you guys. He said that word.
Girl.
He said, let's just go unzip you. Okay. That is not okay. But he was so far away from understanding, and I had to really reel him in. And we get it. Like these partners, they're also scared. They're scared. They don't know. They're vulnerable too. It's not only just you, it's also their baby that they're caring about. And so they hear the negative things out there in the world and they see the word uterine rupture and they're like, oh my gosh, no. And
It
I just
sounds
can't.
scary.
Or they're like, hey, we're out here, we're providing. Like, we can't do those childbirth educations or we can't do those VBAC courses or whatever. But really, like, it's so important because they have to be there with you. They're your rock, too. They are your rock. You have to
Yeah.
have them because I'm going to tell you, in labor, you can't always be 100% in your mind.
You shouldn't be either.
Yeah, you should. Well, because we're laboring, we need to be focusing
Yes.
on getting a baby here, and we can't be thinking about all the things that we need to be asking the next time the provider comes in. And that is where a doula can help and can help encourage your partner. Hey, these are some things to ask next time, and help. But it helps even more if they've done the work and they're with you. They're with you in this journey.
Yes, they have to be with you. And understanding that you and the baby are a dyad, you are one, you're not separate from each other, right? When you do well, the baby does well. When you don't do well, the baby doesn't do well. It's one person. It's one person. You're one unit. They are not separate from each other. Partners really need to understand that. And also really think about what type of energy you are putting into these statistics and the numbers. Because if a provider is telling you have a 0.7% chance of rupturing. Okay, so there's an over 99% chance that I'm not going to.
Yeah, we've talked about it too. Like,
Like, how
let's
different does
flip
that
it.
sound?
Let's flip that. Yeah, we talk
Absolutely.
about that on the podcast too. Like, let's flip it. Let's start focusing on those little tiny numbers of like the chance that you do. I mean, it's important to know that, but let's flip it and look at it like, okay, so I have a 98 to 99% chance of not rupturing. Like, okay, yeah, that feels good. I think that's a good risk right there. I'll take that.
Exactly. Obviously, it's not up to us to be in charge of like pulling our partners out of that fear, right? Like, that shouldn't be our
No.
responsibility, but it's okay to like look your partner in the face and say, this is what I'm needing from you. This is what I'm wanting. And these are the reasons why. And I'm the person who has to give birth to this baby. And I'm the person who has to recover for the rest of my life
Yeah.
with how this birth turns out.
Yep.
Me.
Yeah.
Right? Like when I showed up like for my VBAC, like I went in thinking my husband was gonna fight me on it. So I showed up like, listen, we're gonna have a fucking VBAC and I don't give a shit what you gotta say. Like I showed up in that, you know, I showed up ready to fight.
Same.
You know what
Same.
I mean?
We actually did get in a fight at a restaurant. So, because I was like, this is what's gonna happen. We're gonna have these many people. And oh, and by the way, I'm actually gonna not birth in the hospital either. And he was like, what the hell? And I was like, it's gonna happen, you know? And I was like, and you're gonna have to meet me right up here. Like, I'm not coming back here. You have to come up
Like you
here to
gotta,
me.
yep,
You
you
know,
gotta
and I'm
climb
so
this
grateful that
wall.
he, yes, and I'm so grateful that he did. You know, I really am so grateful. And honestly, it changed him. It changed his perspective. It changed his narrative of birth of he was like, oh wait, yeah, no. Like we would never do it any other way. Like that was amazing, you know?
And luckily for me, my husband, he didn't fight me. Like I
Yeah.
went in guns blazing thinking he was going to, but he was like, look, you're the one that's pregnant. You're the one who has to give birth. Whatever you choose, I'm on board. I will support you and I trust whatever decision you make. I can't tell you
Yeah.
what to do.
Yeah.
And so then I felt like a jerk after. I was
I
like,
know.
okay.
Well,
Making
my
sure.
husband was too. He did like put his two cents in of like, oh, so you're just gonna choose the most expensive option. That was what he said in the end. But in the end, he was like, okay, cool, we're going. You know, but we know, like we see it. I've done so many consultations with people where they're like, my husband is just not on board. And I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And I think one of the very first and things that I suggest is educate them, because they're usually making those quick no's and they're very against it because they're just uneducated and they're scared.
Yeah, and that's where it's generally where it's coming from is a lack of education and following that thread of fear. And those shouldn't be the places where someone is making that decision, right? Like someone should get educated and then we'll discuss what you think, what your opinion is. But know that it's just that it's an opinion and it's not going to be the detour of like what I'm going to do with my birth. It just shouldn't be that way. We already live in such a patriarchal system as it is, you know, and I've seen lots of partners say no to doulas being on board. Like, why?
My husband was one of those. My husband was one of those. He was so anti-doula. And his reason was, well, I don't want to be replaced. And I was like, it's not like that, you know, with my second. I was like, it is not like that at all. And it just was so hard. And we didn't have a doula. I ended up in a repeat cesarean. And I'm not saying that I ended up in a repeat cesarean because I didn't have a doula, but I definitely wish that I had some of that extra support when things were turned on me and someone to help him understand too, you know. But I mean, there's so many other things with that birth. I was at the wrong provider. Just that's what it was. I just didn't make the full ch the change for myself. We
And the
could
thing
do
with fear
this.
too is like a lot of men are not, they don't show up for women fully 100% because there's really not a lot of opportunities where they do show up to be 100% there for their partners. And birth is one of those spaces where they need to do that. And they're not used to that. They're not used to showing up to that capacity of really not centering themselves.
Yep.
Like, what is this doula going to take away from me? What is being at home going to take away from me? What is this going to require? That is someone centering themselves instead of looking at the situation and saying, what is it that you need from me? How can I help you? How can I help you be most comfortable? I want you to be as happy as possible in this situation. That's the type of energy that we need people to show up to the birth for.
Yes.
It's just stop centering yourself. It's not about you. Like when it's your turn to give birth, then we'll,
Yeah.
do whatever you want to do. But until that time comes,
You
it's about
gotta
me.
come up here. Yeah.
It's about
Oh.
me.
It is about you, women of strength. We love you. We love you. Like I said in the beginning, we see you, we hear you, we feel you. Literally from like one VBAC mom or two VBAC moms to another, right? Like we understand. We
Yep.
are with you in this journey. We are cheering you on. This message today is to hopefully motivate you, educate you, plant a seed, whatever you want to take it as, give you the motivation, the umph to do what's best for you. Truly, to truly do what's best for you, and let's change the narrative.
Interested in sharing your VBAC? Head over to the vbaclink.com/share to submit your story. For information on all things VBAC, including online and in-person VBAC classes, the VBAC blog, the worldwide database for VBAC doulas, and more, head over to thevbaclink.com. Congratulations on starting your journey of learning and discovery with the VBAC Link.